So speaking of somebody who I appreciate and read constantly and I'm a big fan of, we go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline for a... He's a great man. He's a great man. And we enjoy his time and we enjoy hassling him whenever possible. He is Zach Meisel of The Athletic. What's up, buddy?
Those are some really kind words. I'm taken aback.
Well, you know, we do that from time to time, especially when you help me win arguments against Phelps. So I have to compliment you.
No problem. I knew I had to jump in there, like 2 weeks ago and
yeah.
Save the day for you guys. Did you guys get your pizza yet?
We have not gotten our pizza yet because he's still holding out hope that Carlos Gonzalez is going to show up for this ball club.
Oh, boy. I wouldn't hold your breath.
I'm getting hungrier by the day. He's going to have to order more and more pizza the longer that this goes. All right, so let's actually get into this. Let's start with the article that came out involving Anthony Castrovince and Paul Dolan basically saying that he has hit his height of spending and that they don't really turn a profit and that kind of stuff off of the ball club. What did you think of that whole thing?
Yeah, it comes out every spring, right? Paul Dolan sits down with one or two writers and you get the same stories, and maybe I'm going to sound too harsh here, but I've never gleaned anything from those articles that I found useful, where you're not getting answers to the questions that fans have been asking for the last 20 years. And so I don't put a whole lot of stock into it. It's the reporters are specifically chosen. The type of article is specifically chosen, and he's going to say certain things that he wants to say. So it's not like he's sitting down in a room full of reporters and just being roasted and being asked, like, okay, well, if you're losing money every year, why are you in this? What's in it for you? Just simple questions like that. Or, like, did you leave your front office out to dry this offseason? I mean, did they know they were going to have to slash $20, $25 million off the payroll? There's a lot of questions I still have. And hopefully I'll get to ask them soon, but it's a conversation that we've had forever. It's probably never going to go away. I'm kind of tired by the whole, conversation, honestly, just because we're never going to get to the bottom of it. You know, we can't see the books. We don't know how much money the team ownership group actually brings in and keeps or spends. I mean, I know people just want to look at the payroll and say, all right, your expenses are $120 million, and this Forbes article says you made $280 million. So what's the deal? There's a lot more than just major league payroll. I mean, you're actually paying more than 200 minor leaguers. I know they're not making as much as they probably should, but and coaches and travel and, you know, all the stuff that they do in the Dominican and in Arizona. Like, it's way more than that.
Right, so and facility upkeep and all that kind of stuff, too.
So I don't think they're just sitting on, like, $500 million in profits every year. But, you know, it's – even if you are losing a little bit of money, we know what the franchise is valued at. We know that maybe even if that isn't completely legitimate what it says in Forbes, if you ever sell the team, you're going to make just a handsome sum of money. And what message does it send to the fan base when you are in the middle of this supposed window and you have this two MVP candidates and a really, really, really good starting rotation and all of those stars are signed for below market value and yet you don't have the flexibility to maybe add a little piece here or a little piece there and you cut payroll by 20 plus million, what message does that send to the fan base? And then how do you expect attendance to get any better moving forward? And how do you expect fan sentiment to be any better moving forward? I just think it's like we should not be the off season we just had. Fans are frustrated, and of course they're going to be looking ahead to the Browns and like the Indians are going to have to go undefeated to get any attention in this town. And part of that is self inflicted, just based on the message the franchise has sent the fan base over this off season.
Wonder how much pizza I could get Phelps to buy me if they go undefeated. But no, I'm with you. That's exactly how I feel on it. This, and I've got it in front of me, and this isn't a win. I don't understand why this needed to take place. And you're right. This conversation is just, it's the same thing over and over again, and nothing changes. And the Indians' methods clearly work. clearly what they do to build a contender works. But you see all of these guys branch off of Antonetti and Chernoff and even throw back to Shapiro, but they also sprinkle in free agency. Like, I watched David Stearns with the Milwaukee Brewers and how he then goes out and goes, okay, we'll make the trade for Christian Yelich, but we're also going to sign Lorenzo Cain, and then we're going to get Yasmani Grandal. We'll bring back Mike Moustakas. And yeah, payroll's a little bit higher, but it's still, the core is there. And we're using free agency to supplement it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's obvious what the holes on this team are right now. I mean, you look at that. Everyone wants to talk about the outfield. And I think the reason the outfield has gotten so much attention is because there's so much uncertainty everywhere else. Do we know that Roberto Perez is going to hit? Do we know that Jason Kipnis is going to hit? Are we 100% sure Jake Bowers and Hanley Ramirez are going to hit? And so, you know, could you have signed just one guy for $8 to $12 million, whether it's Mike Moustakas or Marwin Gonzalez or someone like that, who could have helped you and just reduced the number of question marks you have by one? Like, it's the fact that there was no flexibility there. And now I do want to say, like, I think they will be able to make a midseason trade where they add someone, but you're gonna have to trade a prospect, and it's a catch 22 here, because if your payroll is going to be limited moving forward, well, then you need those prospects eventually to come and help your major league team for the league minimum salary. So it's a tough situation. I don't envy the front office. I'm sure, I mean, the fact that they had to immediately put out, like, the second the World Series ended, that, hey, we're open for business, and you can get Corey Kluber or Trevor Bauer if the price is right. You can have our all-star catcher for a lot less than what we'd really like for him, just because we need to clear the salary. That's a tough spot to be in. And it's you know, eventually maybe the Indians reach a point where they've got to rebuild and they've got to strip it down. And that's when you lower the payroll as far as you want, because there's no point in signing free agents. There's no point in retaining guys who are making much money. I just don't see why it has to be the way it is right now when you're in the middle of this thing and you have the league's longest World Series drought.
Yeah, you're 100% right. All right, let's move to something happier, because I'm getting depressed. All right, so this spring training report is brought to you by Kubota, Golf Tech, and WOW Internet. Where can I buy my Oscar Mercado jersey?
Yeah, you know, he's impressive. It's funny. I've had to look. I still can't even name off the top of my head the two guys they traded for him last year. Because it was the day of the trade deadline. They traded for Leonis Martin. And then it was like, oh, yeah, by the way, we made this deal with the Cardinals. There's three minor leaguers involved. You've never heard of any of them. And you didn't really think much of it. It was like, all right, Mercado, the first report on him was he was super fast. He's a pretty good defender in center field, converted shortstop. That's all we knew. He was 24 years old, former second-round pick. I was like, hey, maybe he becomes like a fourth outfielder next year or the year after. Well, he can hit now. He made a bunch of off-season changes to his hitting approach. He had hitting success in the past, but it was also like when he was converting from shortstop to center field, he said that took so much of his focus that it was hard to do that and develop as a hitter. Now it looks like he has the potential to be a 20-homer, 20-steals type major leaguer while playing good center field defense. Like, that's so valuable. So I don't know that he's going to make the major league team out of spring training. But it's like, you think about the outfield, and yes, it is terrifying. Like, who knows what it's going to look like? You know, Jake Bowers or Tyler Naquin out there with Leonis Martin. I don't know what it's going to look like in opening day, but you think about the potential, especially from like an athletic standpoint, with Mercado, Greg Allen, Bradley Zimmer when he gets healthy. All of a sudden, you start to feel a little bit more comfortable that, you know, at least one or two of those guys could develop into everyday big leaguers who give you speed and defense and can steal bases and also hit for a little power. Those are some nice tools to have.
Absolutely. Okay, so the two guys they gave up. You ready for this? Connor Capel and John Torres, J-H-O-N on the spelling of John. Those are the two guys they gave up.
And I wrote it the other day, like, I feel like 3 days ago I wrote that, and I still slipped my mind days later.
You're fine, because I was trying to figure out how exactly they got him, and I couldn't even remember the trade itself taking place. And all right, so the other one, too, speaking of the outfield, so Leonis Martin has kind of, for the reasons that he battled back from this horrible bacterial infection and all that stuff, has become, you know, almost, I wouldn't say a cult hero, but somebody that a lot of fans and a lot of people as well seem to enjoy. And how's the stick coming along for him? Is he starting to hit a little bit better, or is this going to be same old, same old?
Yeah, he's hit pretty well this spring, like better than most. It's interesting, you know, last season he looked like a real bona fide major leaguer against right-handed pitching, where he was hitting for power. If you remember when he got traded to Cleveland, he hit a home run in his first two games with the Indians, and he was a big-time threat. The question is going to be, how well can he hit lefties? Because, you know, if you're going to platoon in right field, presumably, maybe with Tyler Naquin and, I don't know, Craig Allen, you know, you might platoon a little bit in left field with Jake Bowers, or maybe he slides to DH sometimes, if Hanley Ramirez doesn't play every day.
Well, we're getting to him.
Yeah, but there's just like a lot of moving parts here where it would be nice to have at least one outfielder who you put in there just about every day, no matter who's on the mound. And I think Leonis Martin could be that guy. He's just got to hold his own against lefties a little better than he has. But he's looked great this spring. It's crazy. I mean, the one guy who is like their rock in the outfield is the guy who 6 months ago was fighting for his life in a hospital bed. It's remarkable.
It's awesome. It's such a great story, and from what it sounds like, he's such a great dude. He is Zach Mizel of The Athletic joining us at the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, you said the magic name. We got to get to him. How does Hanley look?
I get asked this, and I feel stupid saying it. I have no idea. Because it's not so simple where it's like, all right, well, like John Edwards this spring, pitching-wise, has just blew everybody away, or Shane Bieber. And like I can say, all right, like John Edwards deserves an opening day spot. He's thrown like six innings, struck out 10, given up like two hits and no runs. Like I can say that. But with Hanley Ramirez, it's like the guy's just DHing. He's getting his three or four at-bats every other day or every third day. And it's like if he hits 400, like I guess that's good, but I don't – is he facing the right competition? And like he's 35 years old. He doesn't have the dreadlocks anymore. He's not like the skinny athletic kid he used to be. You would not recognize him if you hadn't seen him. And the only thing the Indians can really go by is, does he have bat speed? So, like, what do the video cameras show you when he's in the batting cage? And does he have strength? Can he take a turnaround, a 95-mile-an-hour fastball up in the zone and hit it over the fence? Like, it's hard to tell just from watching him in games. And that's why, you know, it's a big decision. I do think he'll end up making the team, but like there's a lot of pressure, I think, on the hitting coaches, on Terry Francona, just to determine whether this guy can help them. Because we've seen it in the past with guys like this make a team, and then by mid-May, you cut ties with them because it's just they don't have it. And you need that larger sample size to get that definitive conclusion. It's really hard to pull that off in spring training, just judging by a couple of bats against sometimes guys who are going to start the season in A-ball. So I don't envy them having to go through this.
All right, so then right now, because you brought up John Edwards, so right now, opening day, you're up by two going into the eighth. Coming out of the bullpen is?
Can I just throw Brad Hand out there for two innings?
All right, we'll give it to you. So then game two in the eighth inning. No.
Yeah, it's – I don't know. I don't even know if John Edwards is actually going to make the team, and yet I think he might be the guy I'd trust the most. Like, they really like him. He throws hard. He's looked really good. I think Oliver Perez will get chances late against lefties, maybe Tyler Olson. We've seen Dan Otero. Like, I don't think I want him out there. I don't think I want
I'm good.
Neil Ramirez, so I guess give me the guy with the upside who I don't know much about.
I'm with you there. All right, so last question for you. Odell Beckham Jr. to the Browns, what do you think?
I think I'm really fascinated to see. I want people to support the Indians. I want the Indians to do well because it makes my job more exciting and fans are more invested in what I'm doing. But I'm just curious to see, like, if – do the Indians have to go like 145-17 for people to be paying attention to them in August and September? Because it's awesome to see I mean, we all remember 2016, right? And,
absolutely.
And you had the Cavs, and I remember being downtown the night they won it, and it was crazy, and we drank the city out of all of its alcohol supply, and just that whole summer, it felt like everyone was on cloud nine, and the Indians helped out by, like, keeping that going for another couple months. This should resemble that, like, the second training camp starts, and it's going to be fun, and maybe the Indians can do their part to make it doubly fun. I don't know, but I will say this: it's a weird feeling not needing to care about the draft. It's so strange. I'm so used to turning a 92-3, and we're talking quarterbacks every day, and now you don't have to.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I'll forewarn you. So I grew up in Milwaukee, and so how it would go there is, nobody cared about the Bucks. Nobody ever paid attention to the Bucks. They were this thing that took place off to the side. And now with Giannis, it's a little bit more. But it was basically like, it was the end of the Super Bowl. We talked off season, and then it was Brewers the whole way until training camp start, and then it was Packers the whole way. And I got a feeling that's exactly what this is going to be. Is it's going to be, you know, kind of Indians with a tiny bit of Browns moved in there as well. But the minute training camp starts, sadly, I think it's going to be Browns, except on this show where we'll keep talking Indians because I like talking to you. So we'll have you back.
Well, I'm glad I could still have a job.
That's all we're asking for. He is Zach Mazzini, Athletic. Read his piece on John Edwards. It is fantastic. We'll talk to you later, buddy. Thank you for the time. I always appreciate it.
You got it. Take care.
That was the great Zach Meisel of The Athletic with your spring training report, which is brought to you by Kubota, Golf Tech, and WOW Internet. And Zach appeared on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.